and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Coming up at the bottom of this hour, David Horovitz, editor-in-chief for the Jerusalem Post.
Yes.
To talk about Obama's Cairo speech.
He's calling from Israel.
Oh, wow.
I know, right?
About the two-state solution, right?
Yeah.
Check us out. Top of next hour, Warren Eckstein, pet expert, syndicated radio host who came to my house yesterday to help me train my puppy. Oliver's he's backsliding a little bit in the house training.
Do you have little presents being left all over the house?
Tiny skosh. Not anymore, because Warren Eckstein came to my house.
Fixed everything.
He was in charge of the canine corps in Vietnam. He did the cadaver sniffing dogs at 9/11. So we'll see if he can handle Oliver.
Isn't he the one that adjusts dogs' chakras and stuff like that?
I don't think so. Okay. I sense some snark from you.
I don't have snark. Mm-hmm. Also, does he whisper to them?
He does read their palms though.
He did his colors. So what? Okay, and next hour, one of our personal favorite congressmen, Frank Pallone. Pallone.
Oh, not Frank Stallone.
Pallone.
Not the guy
you
who came on to
you. Remember the last time it was embarrassing. I did the entire interview thinking it was Frank Stallone. No. This is the Democratic congressman from New Jersey.
Oh,
thank you very much, Frank.
Not the guy who came on to you at the Playboy Mansion.
No, that's okay. An entirely different person. Carl Frisch, senior fellow at Media Matters, calling in hour number three to talk about the growing tide of hate the right-wing media is fomenting toward the president. So we have a jam-packed show, stephaniemiller.com, the website. Check it out. You can email us all there, executive producer Chris Savoy, voice deity Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. Later, we'll have pictures of Warren training mommy's puppy, Oliver.
Ooh. Oliver!
Okay, meanwhile, the president...
Or maybe a picture of him throwing up his hands.
And leaving. Slamming his car door, driving away.
Yeah.
You are a mess, and so is your dog. All right, the president talking about the situation in Iran.
It's not productive, given the history of U.S.-Iranian relations, to be seen as meddling, the U.S. president meddling in Iranian elections.
Aha. Uh-huh. The president single-handedly trying to handle Iran and North Korea.
I don't think there's any question that that would be a destabilizing situation that would be a profound threat to not only United States security, but world security.
Do you ever think, who would want this job, seriously? I bet you he thinks that almost every day.
He's doing a much better job than George W. Bush ever did, though.
Cha. Okay, meanwhile, hey, guess what, Jim? It's time to
Oliver
say...
Oliver would do a better job than George Bush.
Well, that is true.
Oliver! Mommy. By the way, guess what? The Republicans hate the troops. Why do you hate the troops so much? Why do you hate America so much? Republicans are voting against troop funding. Representative James Harman.
Well, they're voting against funding the troops. And I'm not persuaded by their explanation.
But, of course, the big
news. It's not at the top of our list anymore.
Apparently not.
It's the bottom of our list.
It fell down the boner list.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Milk, cheese, cigarettes, bourbon. That's the top of our list.
Bronzer.
Bronzer. Forgot
That's probably the problem, is it gets on the wrong list sometimes because he has the bronzer and the bourbon, and it's, oh, not that list. Of course, the big news in the today's version.
Hypocrites!
Oh, Senator John Ensign.
Yeah. Bless his heart.
Bless his heart.
Yeah. He of the castigating other people.
Yes, Bill Clinton and Larry Craig.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He's had a little unpleasantness. There's been an incident of the extramarital kind.
Now to politics and a brand new sex scandal that involves a Republican senator.
What happens in Vegas?
How lucky
Nevada, Nevada, Nevada.
Republican Senator John Ensign has admitted to an affair.
Like the fella once said,
closeness put me into situations.
You want to find my way to God?
During a very difficult time in my marriage, which led to my inappropriate behavior.
Like the sailor said, quote,
The same Senator Ensign who demanded that President Clinton resign because of his affair with Monica Lewinsky.
I did have sexual relations with that woman.
Nobody squeezes the charm. Nobody but you, hypocrite.
Senator Ensign, don't tell me you're going to be a hypocritical politician.
Jackpot.
Wow, Shano.
Thank you, Shano.
That was great.
Oh, dear.
How lucky can one guy be?
And the newest, deer in the headlights, unfortunate Republican wife, Darlene.
Darlene Ensign. Dear.
Wasn't she one of the Mouseketeers? No, different Darlene.
She said the couple's marriage has become stronger and added, I love my husband.
I love my wife.
That's, listen up, everybody. That's how you strengthen up that marriage.
I love my wife.
And everybody. Okay. Again. Hi, I'm Darlene Ensign.
So when's he going to be apologizing to President Clinton? Oh, I guess never.
And Larry Craig.
Yeah.
Although that's different because that's the icky kind of sex. That's the homo gay kind of sex. That's the homo gay.
Yeah.
There.
What do you think of that?
I think that is homo gay. That's what I think. Oh, heavens. All right, speaking of who's zooming who, Sue in San Francisco writes, hey, Steph, wanted to say how much I'm loving how much you're having the lovely and talented Hal Sparks on the show lately. I hope one of us is sleeping with him, and since it's not me, I assume it's you. I don't know.
Computer says no.
I think
although I am a
slut. She's a slut. Look at her slut.
You know what, though,
Steph? Am I?
I think you could.
If I wanted.
Because he...
Maybe I will next time.
He seems to be interested in you.
He's... Yeah.
And he offers to give you back rubs every time he's in here.
All right. All right.
Making the googly eyes towards you.
So far I'm all talk. We'll see.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
That'll be the running game show. Will Stephanie put out for Hal Sparks?
You've been promising sexual favors to me for 5 years.
I know, but you're not that bright.
10 years.
That's why God made you so pretty.
Yeah. Over David 10 years now.
He keeps coming back.
Yeah.
David in Tampa, Florida. Saw Mama on the TV. Yesterday.
Hey, the point is that I saw you on the Ed Show last night, and you are unbelievably freaking gorgeous.
Oh, David.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I forgot to tell all y'all.
You forgot to tell me.
Sorry about that.
Well, I saw you on the website, but live TV doesn't, it's unbelievable.
Oh.
The website doesn't do it justice.
What about the substance of what Mama said, David? What about that part?
Well, I'm with you 100% of the way. All
right.
Palin, it's a moron. But,
all right.
So. Watch out, she'll get you with her gay ray.
No,
though.
I will not.
Blah, 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 she's pretty. Blah, 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 blah.
She licked her with her lips are moving.
Word you said.
What about what I'm saying?
If you want to see Stephanie and hear what she said yesterday, it is now posted up in the videos section of StephanieMiller.com.
And who doesn't? Certainly 3 hours a day is not enough. You want to know what I'm saying and thinking every second of every day.
You did look pretty damn good yesterday, though.
Oh, why, thank you.
You really did.
Thank you. Yeah, I totally... Oh, you'll have to get the Hal Sparks whip check you out of the way.
I'd tap that.
Oh, dear God.
Oh, my God. God.
All right. Let's. It's like my little brother.
Ew. What?
Ew. All right. Let's check some news we don't want to lose, shall we?
Yippee. Yippee. It's time for stand up news. And now, here's anchor person, Stephanie Miller.
Thank you. When news breaks here, it stays broken. Our top story, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu is negotiating a deal with Washington under which Israeli building in the existing Jewish settlements could go forward in certain cases. Is this the magical natural growth that Joe Lieberman speaks of?
Oh, boy. We'll be talking about this with David Horovitz of the Jerusalem Post a little bit later
on. Yes, we will. Netanyahu has, I assume this will be a somewhat different take.
Yes.
Netanyahu has asserted that his government does not have the legal authority to stop building in cases in which tenders for new structures have already been awarded or when homes under construction have already been purchased. Under pressure from Obama, Netanyahu this week publicly accepted for the first time the internationally backed goal of Palestinian statehood that set a series of preconditions that were rejected by the Palestinians. So good. We're moving forward on it. Yes. Looking good. Peace in the Middle East. Okay.
Any century now.
Uh-huh. We have, I believe, Netanyahu.
And Mahmoud Abbas.
Oh.
Okay, Mahmoud. I'm going to do a mitzvah here and say you can finally have a Palestinian state. How do you like those matzahs?
Mr. Prime Minister, my heart rejoices to hear the news. You have the gratitude of the Palestinian people forever. How soon can we work out the details?
Not so fast there, you little camel-cultivating rascal. There's a few conditions we have to agree to first.
Well, okay, I guess. What are they?
You can't have any weapons.
That will be difficult to enforce, but we'll agree and we'll try hard to make it work. Thank you.
Hold on a minute, my little Bernoost buddy. You can't go out of the house ever.
But...
And you have to hop on one foot and sing the Whiff and Poof song. Come on, let's see what you got.
We are poor little lambs who've lost our way.
Now in Urdu in 9/8 time. Get to it.
We are poor little lambs.
While rubbing your tummy and patting your head.
They can't do it.
You mean you won't do it. You see, Palestinians never miss an opportunity to miss an opportunity, do you? Well, forget it. We're probably going to need your land for natural growth anyway.
Oh, may the fleas of 1,000 camels infest your armpits. Jihad!
Oh, no.
Oh. Oh, dear.
It's a good thing we got that out of the way before David Harvest.
They don't need to do that after David Harvest.
Yeah, they don't have internets in Israel.
No.
No,
they don't.
Computer says no.
No. Finally, conservative Christian leaders are filed. This seems Christian. They're fighting a bill that would provide federal hate crimes coverage to gays and lesbians, prompting questions of who, if anyone, should be protected by such laws.
Oh, well, according to them, only Christians should be protected.
No, to stop the legislation, a few Christian leaders have suggested repealing all hate crimes laws.
Oh!
So no one can play in any of the reindeer games, which would undo historic protections for race and even religion.
From now on, gang, we won't let Rudolph join in any reindeer games.
Hmm. A number of Christian conservatives have raised fears that pastors would be prosecuted for inciting hate crime if they preached against homosexuality, despite assurance the law only targets physical violence.
Mm-hmm.
Seems hard to understand. By the way, FYI, GTK, a 2007 Gallup poll showed a majority of Americans, 68%, that's almost 70, Jim,
mm-hmm.
favor expanding hate crimes protections.
Who cares what they think?
Yes, exactly. We have a preacher.
The attempt by the godless heathens in the United States Congress to broaden the scope of so-called hate crimes laws is a travesty. It's not only unconstitutional, it's anti-religion, anti-American, and it just isn't fair. If this goes through and people who especially stomp homos are punished extra, that's in direct contradiction to the Bible's injunction to hate the sinner as well as the sin. I know that's not what Jesus said, but believe you me, it's we Christians who know exactly what he meant. The liberal scribes back then would never let him come right out and say how he hates the homos, and they probably would have passed hate crime legislation on his keister too. So if we can't hate the gays and put the fear of God into them, along with several large-gauge, copper-jacketed slugs, well, what are we going to do with ourselves on Sunday afternoon after Sunday school? I mean, after you account for the liberal bias, didn't they say, make the little gay children suffer if they come unto me? Didn't they cast out the sodomite money changers from the temple? Didn't they feed the non-degenerate multitude the miracle of the loaves and fishes while leaving the Nancy boys to eat sand? Hey, sure as shooting didn't turn the water into cosmopolitans. So back off, Congress. Next time you're tempted to do anything so evil as protect people, just ask yourselves this. Who would Jesus hate? I think you'll be surprised. Amen.
Oh, dear. That's all for stand-up news. I'm here all week. Tell your friends if you'd like more Jim Ward, Falderall.
Jim Ward's apocryphal but true. There's a tie-lab on the Stephanie Miller website, stephaniemiller.com.
What do you know about that?
Boy, howdy. 20 minutes after the hour, was there more violence overnight in Iran? We'll tell you that and much more on that whole situation as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, my. How ruthlessly absurd.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show.
I could swear you said something about a shark monkey.
24 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number toll free from anywhere.
What did you mean by that?
I know Michael Jackson. It sounded like he said something about a shark monkey. Maybe I'm high. I don't know.
Oh, dear. Jim is mixing his meds again.
Yes.
1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. So thousands of people waving Iranian flags and pictures of the country's supreme leader masked yesterday at a rally organized by the clerical regime in an apparent attempt. This sounds like their version of teabagging.
This was like an
attempt to make that seem like, no, this is the real protest.
Oh, God.
Pathetic. Yes. an actually massive crowd apparently formed later in the square to I can't pronounce his name. You know what I'm saying.
Ahmadinejad?
No, the other guy.
Mousavi.
Mousavi. There you go. The government, of course, barred foreign media from covering rallies in Tehran, even the state-organized demonstrations.
So, yeah, they're shutting down Twitter. They're shutting down text messaging.
Twitter's been the only way that stuff has been getting out, apparently.
Well, yeah.
That's what somebody was saying. You said that yesterday, the difference between Tiananmen Square and...
It really has been interesting watching all of the reports come in via Twitter.
The president yesterday.
When I see violence directed at peaceful protesters... When I see peaceful dissent being suppressed, wherever that takes place, it is of concern to me and it's of concern to the American people.
Yeah, Iranian authorities issued an order yesterday restricting all journalists, including Iranians working for foreign media, from reporting from the streets of Tehran. So they're basically in offices on phones. They're not able to even, With the ban on media, the users on social networking sites like Twitter... that you mentioned, up their efforts to provide first-hand, real-time news. Twitter is the one thing being used. It's a sign of a crackdown. They don't want people outside Iran to see what's going on here, one person tweeted. So how do you shut down tweeting? You know, Mama's not so much with the technological.
Well, I mean, there are ways to do it. But also, the government of Iran is looking at people's locations that they set and their time zones that they set so they can try and figure out who is tweeting from inside the country.
Oh,
and so there's a movement on Twitter going on for everybody who is on Twitter to set their location to Tehran and to set their time zone to Tehran's time zone.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's like a GPS.
Yeah.
Yikes. Yikes. All right, the president again.
There are people who want to see greater openness and greater debate and want to see greater democracy. How that plays out over the next... several days and several weeks is something ultimately for the Iranian people to decide.
Yeah, of course the right is screaming as usual that he's not doing enough. John McCain said he should speak out that this is a corrupt fraud sham of an election. The Iranian people have been deprived of their rights.
Yeah, we have John McCain here.
Yeah, what's he...
President should speak out that this election is flawed. It is wrong. It's a deprivation of the Iranian people of their basic human rights.
Okay.
Yes, but he has to be careful not to endorse a candidate, one candidate.
Exactly. Yeah, the president said, I think the most important thing yesterday, that America has been a handy political football, obviously, in this part of the world. So what is the hell's Grampy talking about? So
what if Osama bin Laden had endorsed John McCain, for example?
Yeah.
How would that play?
Exactly. The president yesterday.
I stand strongly with the universal principle that people's voices should be heard and not suppressed.
All right. We have David Horowitz. That is not Horowitz.
No, completely different guy.
It would be bad if I did two interviews today, assuming it's completely the wrong person.
Right.
Like Frank Stallone and David Horowitz, which it's not.
No.
It's Congressman Frank Pallone and David Horowitz, who is the editor-in-chief of the Jerusalem Post. We will talk about all things Middle East as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Mind your P's and Q's, Buster, and remember who you're dealing with.
Stephanie Miller.
Yeah, that's right. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 33 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Well, there sure is a lot going on in the Middle East. If only there were an expert of some sort. Wow. Huh? Jim, who is it?
It's the editor-in-chief for the Jerusalem Post, David Horowitz.
What are the chances? Good morning, David, all the way from Israel. Good morning.
You.
Thank you so much for coming on with us.
Pleasure, thank you.
Well, first of all, I have to get your take on Iran, because is this as disturbing as it looks to us on the TV over here?
A Look, we are as constrained, I suspect, as you are in terms of knowing exactly what's going on. But the issue from the Israeli point of view, I think, is how threatened the regime truly is. I think, you know, it's easy to get caught up in the sense that the reformist real Democrats are challenging the regime, but Mr. Mousavi, the challenger, was a former prime minister whose candidacy, of course, was approved by the regime. It's not like he's a radical who would want to turn Iran into a Western-style democracy. So again, you know, from the Israeli perspective, as we watch an Iranian regime that is seeking a nuclear capability that is vicious in its demonization of Israel, the question we're asking here is the regime going to survive this? Mm-hmm. And the sense that we have at this point, I have to say, is that it is. That, you know, for all the trouble, there's no sense that the regime is really breaking.
Well, it seems to me, David, from over here, that, you know, they're going to do this quote-unquote investigation of what happened, but, you know, that it's going to be a whitewash.
Well, yeah, that's the quintessential way of avoiding trouble, set up a committee, and, yeah, we'll be sure to report back in 2 weeks or 3 weeks that it will be, you know, I mean,
right.
by then it's all over. So I don't think that that anyone should be pinning too much expectation on that.
Mm-hmm. I mean, but is that going to fool the Iranian people? I mean, are they going to say, oh, okay, you checked into it and everything is fine with the election?
Well, yeah, this is the real question. The question is whether the Iranians, the regime, which was very complacent about these elections, which believed that it was in control of a very constrained exercise in democracy, whether it's going to be able to put this public protest genie back in the bottle. Now, we saw in Lebanon not too many years ago, again, popular street protests, a great deal of anger, the sense that people were clamoring for democracy and that things were really going to change, and ultimately things did not change in Lebanon. And I think the regime in Iran is much stronger, is much smarter, probably is more ruthless. And although clearly public protest is pretty acute, it would be remarkable even at this stage if the regime itself started to shake.
Mm-hmm. David, explain for, you know, those of us normal Americans that look and we say, oh, well, look, there's elections, and look at all these, you know, the turnout and yada yada. But I mean, I guess what people understand is it's really the mullahs that run the country, right? I mean, so are these always basically a sham? It's just kind of whoever they decide they want to put in?
Well, yes. I mean, I'm sorry to be that bleak about it, but there were hundreds of people who put forward their candidacy to be the president of Iran, and four of them were approved by a council that is answerable to the supreme leader of Iran, Ali Khamenei.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, if a, shall we say, Western-style genuine Democrats opposed to control of the regime by a religious authority, a closed-minded, misogynistic, homophobic bureaucracy. If somebody truly committed to freedom wanted to run, of course they would not have been allowed to run. It was only the quartet of sanctioned candidates who got into this race in the first place.
Exactly. Yeah, I love the what was it? Ahmadinejad that said they don't have homosexuality there.
They just got
Twitter, but they don't have the gay yet, apparently.
Look, this is it's a society that we're trying to watch from afar, but that we are, you know, even in covering this now, lots of communications closed down, lots of means of communication that are being blocked.
This is going to be a dumb question, I suppose, but what's the point of having a president? I mean, you know, obviously everybody's always said Ahmadinejad. Clearly, he's a crazy Holocaust denier nut, but he's not really the one in charge, right? I mean, what's the point of having a president, I guess, in Iran?
Well, the first thing is I don't think he's a nut, and I don't think he's crazy. I think he's sometimes speaks out to the inconvenience of the regime, but I don't think he's a fool by any means. And I think he's reaching out over the West to people with a grievance in disadvantaged countries, and I think his message that they've been abused by world powers since World War II, that's a pretty potent message in some parts of the world. And I wouldn't underestimate the resonance of some of the things he says, which nonetheless might strike us in the West as absurd.
Well,
and I think, you know, they have a presidency there because they've given the people people the sense of a semblance of democracy, of a sense of, a, of an answerable authority. The clerics do not want to overtly be ruling. They want figureheads, and in Ahmadinejad's case, I think he's much more than a figurehead.
Right.
Mousavi, you know, was somebody that they thought would be fine too. I think they expected that he would lose. Remember, he was prime minister before. When he was prime minister, he was one of the forefathers of their nuclear program. Again, this guy is not somebody with whom the West would have a great deal in common. But
interesting.
Things have gotten a little out of hand for them.
Yeah, interesting. Well, their democracy is sort of like that butter-like substance that you put on movie popcorn that's not actually butter. So it's not an actual democracy, but a remarkable replication, I guess. What I have to ask, what was the effect in your mind of the president's Cairo speech in the Middle East?
Look, I thought it was much to be said to his credit. I think that his predecessor couldn't have drafted a speech like that and couldn't have delivered it where he delivered it and wouldn't have been applauded for it. And I think the only way that the world is going to heal is if a moderate interpretation of Islam, which insists on live and let live rather than kill and be killed, prevails. So, you know, I'm glad that we have somebody trying to reach out and encourage moderation and trying to marginalize the extremists. I hope that he's not naive. I hope that he will recognize in dealing with Iran, for example, that the regime in Iran will not be appeased and will not be won over by diplomacy. And I hope he doesn't leave it late to draw conclusions. From an Israeli point of view, the support for Israel was welcome, but his depiction of Israel as being some kind of modern colonial upstart imposed on the Middle East after the Holocaust was plain wrong and very problematic. You know, the birth of Israel in 1948 was the rebirth of a Jewish state in the one place where the Jews have ever been sovereign. And that narrative that he gave for Israel was very problematic, and that's one of the things that our Prime Minister, Mr. Netanyahu, in his speech, which was really a response to Obama to some extent the other day, that was one of the things that he stressed.
Well, is it, you know, David, again, I'm, you know, such a layperson in this whole thing, but does it seem to me that, you know, with the latest, these latest talks, that we seem farther away than ever? So Netanyahu has finally said, yes, they can have a state, but then there's preconditions that obviously the Palestinians immediately rejected. So, I mean, where are we? We're not, it doesn't sound like any closer. I know, the president asked for a total freeze on settlements, and the Israelis won't agree to that. So, I mean, where do we go from here?
Well, the Palestinians shouldn't have rejected Netanyahu's speech in the way that they did. In their own interest, they shouldn't have done it. You had the leader of a right-of-center Israeli government saying, yes, I'm prepared to actually set out a vision of a Palestine living in peace alongside Israel. And the caveat that he set out, that the militarized Palestinian state, you know, Israel is 9 miles wide. It makes a lot of noise, and people think it's vast. This is a tiny little country. And if you had a Palestine that in the West Bank was able to do what Hamas has done in Gaza, you know, import arms and fire rockets, well, our country comes to a halt. You know, Obama, who came here as a candidate last year, would not have been allowed by his security detail to fly into our airport because our airport is within rocket range of the West Bank. So Netanyahu set out practical conditions. He basically said, yes, there should be, didn't just say there could be, there should be a Palestinian state. Our only caveat is that it not come at the expense of ours. On settlements, he said they'll build no new settlements. He said we'll take no additional land. We're not going to freeze growth within existing settlements in the interim. But of course, if we're in substantive talks, if there's a serious effort to achieve a permanent accord, there'll have to be territorial compromise, and lots, probably most of the settlements would have to go.
Well, you know what? We all, you know, are forever hopeful about that whole situation. I have good friends in Tel Aviv. Please tell them I said, Ani otevet otach.
Okay, I'll pass the word that you love them. Absolutely.
Gam ani motek. Thank you, David. I appreciate you taking the time. David Horovitz, editor-in-chief of the Jerusalem Post. Thanks so much.
Pleasure. Bye-bye.
All right, there he goes.
I hope you got that right.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you kind of sound like an idiot.
I got it right.
Are you sure?
See, I have to do something that you guys wouldn't know what I'm doing, because that way you can't say I'm wrong.
I think it was Klingon.
Yeah, it was Klingon.
It was not.
She was just talking up on Loogie.
I could say something dirty right now if I wanted to. 42 minutes in the same language, you wouldn't understand it. 42 minutes after the hour, right back with the latest on the Iranian situation and what the right is screaming about as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Holy crap!
We'll have more on these new developments after this.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 47 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Oh, I just realized what you are to question my Hebrew language skills.
Yes.
Abadzona. All right. That's okay.
1-800. Did you just say, oh no, Oliver just whizzed in my shark monkey loafers?
Yes. And my hovercraft is full of eels.
Mm, yes.
48 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. President Obama said the disputed election in Iran revealed a change in expectation among voters and perhaps their leaders. He said he was deeply troubled by the election and its aftermath, but stopped short of saying the election was rigged. He said, I do believe something has happened in Iran with Iranians more willing to question the government's antagonistic postures. In the world, the president.
You've seen in Iran some initial reaction from the Supreme Leader that indicates he understands the Iranian people have deep concerns about the election.
It seems when there's hundreds of thousands of people in the street and there's a lot of things burning.
Yeah.
There appears to be some
and,
sort of...
You know, a lot of people bleeding and dying, too, so that's not good.
Yes, yes. President. Again.
There are people who want to see greater openness and greater debate and want to see greater democracy.
Finally, the president yesterday.
And when you've got 100,000 people who are out on the streets peacefully protesting and they're having to be scattered through violence and gunshots, what that tells me is the Iranian people are not convinced of the legitimacy of the election.
How is this going to play out, do you think? I have no clue. Because I don't think we've seen this before, have we?
No, well,
this particular kind of,
Well, Tiananmen Square comes to mind.
Yeah, and I'm really hoping it doesn't end up like that.
Yeah.
Which it probably could.
Well, but yeah, like we were saying about whether it's Twitter or whatever, there is a difference and there is more technology and people are watching whether they want us to or not.
They're shutting all that down, though. They haven't been completely successful in doing that, but they're doing everything they can. So.
But can they really govern a country where the masses of people just do not support the government? I mean, that...
George Bush just did it for 8 years.
Well, true.
After 2 stolen elections. All right, but that's because, you know why? Because we have American Idol, so we don't really care.
Right.
Americans are like, oh, that didn't seem right in Ohio. Okay. Oh,
whatever.
Look, Sanjaya.
Oh, Sanjaya.
I was trying to do an old reference to American Idol.
Well, that's not that old, though.
Okay.
That was kind of old.
Okay, you tell
Adam
me who
Lambert.
The American Idol was during the 2004 election. I don't know. All right. That's so nice. Fred Barnes on the...
Hey, I heard that.
What? On the Brit Burger.
Called me a bastard.
President Obama says it's meddling if we support the democratic forces in Iran. Meddling. That's not meddling at all. That's supporting the people who see America as a model that they'd like to emulate.
Wait, so how does he mean support? What? I mean, seriously, these guys, they do nothing but bitch. What would they do?
Oh, believe me, Fred, we've got people on the ground there funneling money to these people. We do. It's it's a CIA operation.
The president can't be seen supporting one particular candidate or another. That's absurd.
Fred Barnes is an idiot.
All right, Susan in Ann Arbor, Michigan, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, Suze.
Hi.
Hi.
Thank you. I just wanted to say that I watched you last night on the Ed Show, and you were great.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And the comment that you made about sending Blackwell and Kathleen Harris was absolutely correct, but her comeback was about Jimmy Carter. And I just find it ironic that, you know, you can point to 2 extremely negative cases of election fraud, and she points to a Nobel Peace Prize winner.
Yeah, who has actually monitored elections in other countries, I see.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So.
Exactly.
You.
That's just what they blurt out when they've lost
Jimmy
an argument.
Carter!
Or Castro.
Castro, French!
Yes.
Gay.
Socialist. Okay. Oh, Hannity. You know what? I'm guessing he got the word freedom in there because that's the title of his stupid book.
Mm. Now, I think between that and saying we're meddling in Iran, which is what he said today, and North Korea, we're advancing the cause of freedom. If America doesn't stand for freedom, who will stand for freedom?
Sean. Only you.
What a word.
That's what all the right-wing harpies sound like.
Yeah, which like right-wing harpy was that was melting?
I think it might have been Gavin Newsom's ex, Kimberly Guilfoyle.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Carter! What a word, Carter!
She's a far-right wacko.
Socialist.
How did that
work? Wow. That's... Yikes.
Yeah.
Well, it's not like he was probably sleeping with just her. Oh, come on now. Okay, Sean Hannity.
This president doesn't believe in the foundation, our founding document talked about every human being endowed by their creator. They crave liberty. It's the natural state of mankind. But he says he can't even send a message of solidarity and support of these brave people that may die by taking to the streets where they are.
Yes, you see, Jim, because he doesn't prescribe to George Bush's freedom and liberty formula, which is
I think we should threaten to bomb
bombing unnecessarily
if
bombing.
They don't give the people what they want. We should bomb the country, turn it into a parking lot, kill every. Mm-hmm. Oh, wait a minute!
Unnecessarily, bombing Muslim countries that pose no threat to us.
That's the force.
That's the only kind of freedom
of
Sean recognizes.
Freedom
the ones that he has
in all
graphics
the world.
For.
Freedom, freedom's cause. Mm,
yes. Free dissent without freedom. Human liberty. Global appeal of liberty. All of freedom, liberty, your liberty, liberty in our land, liberty in other lands, the meaning and promise of liberty, and the liberty bell, freedom to others, freedom to enemies.
You remember, is the fiery kind of freedom, Jim. Yeah. It was the
the bomby kind of freedom.
Yeah, the bomby, fiery sort of freedom.
Shut up. How's that freedom feel? You like that freedom? Mm. Got more, there's more where that came from.
I sense, this is what I sense,
there's more freedom.
And you watch the Fox News a lot. They're itching to use some fancy new war graphics, aren't they?
Yeah. They've beefed up their war graphics.
They have been
department.
Holding... You know what? They've got wargasms all backed up, Jim. You know how that is. When you got a wargasm backed up for months and months. You need a release. You need a release.
Yeah. What?
Wargasm.
Oh.
Oh, yes.
Oh.
They did... may I just say, during the shock and awe, Sean Hannity did seem to be sexually excited by the whole...
Yeah, I dare say he had wood.
Mm-hmm. Oh, dear.
What?
Wood.
All right. They're itching for either. We got to make either Iran or North Korea a parking lot, I think. Or there will be...
or both. Why not?
No justice, no peace
at
the Fox News. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The president.
There's been a pattern in the past where North Korea behaves in a belligerent fashion. And if it waits long enough, is then rewarded with... foodstuffs and fuel and concessionary loans and a whole range of benefits.
Exactly.
And I think that's the pattern that they've come to expect. The message we're sending, and when I say we, not simply the United States and the Republic of Korea, but I think the international community, is we are going to break that pattern.
The South Korean president said, we agreed under no circumstance are we going to allow North Korea to possess nuclear weapons. Obama was equally emphatic about the need to defang the North Koreans. We will pursue denuclearization of the Korean peninsula vigorously.
Thanks for the memories. Yeah, you go defang me. Oh, these two wrath. Ha, ha, ha.
Give denuclearization a shot.
Denuclearization.
Thank you. Okay, Max in Los Angeles, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show on our friend Sean Hannity. Hello,
well,
Max.
Clear up a couple of things about Sean. Sean talks about the founding fathers and how they were so great. You know, they owned human beings, so they didn't exactly believe that everybody was endowed with...
except the ones they owned.
Rich white guys.
And all of that. But the problem with the right-wingers was really symbolized in their last presidential debates when they asked Mitt Romney, what is wrong with American myths? Said, there's nothing wrong with America. And he looked up at the sky with stars in his eyes. You know, they have these ridiculous viewpoints about what we should be doing, and it always ends up in war, and it always ends up in violence, and it's always ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
And you know,
it's the happy ending for their wargasm.
Oh, it's a beautiful ending for them.
Yes.
They talk about Obama not taking care of the business of America. George Bush destroyed our country, and they went right along with it because he talked their game.
Yep, absolutely. 57 minutes after the hour, Warren Eckstein, syndicated radio host and pet expert, next on the Being at My House yesterday to train Oliver, mommy's puppy, and Representative Frank Pallone of New Jersey also next hour as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere, jam-packed celebrity hotline today. Representative Frank Pallone, Democrat of the great state of New Jersey, at the bottom of this hour. Carl Frisch, senior fellow at Media Matters for America, to talk about the right-wing media fomenting hatred against the president, and much more. StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris LaVoy, voice deity Jim Warder, me, Stephanie Miller. The president yesterday on North Korea.
Belligerent, provocative behavior that threatens neighbors will be met with significant, serious enforcement of sanctions that are in place.
All right. And Glenn Beck, once again, Jim, completely misstating what the president wants to do on health care.
What Obama is doing, and all of the progressives, I mean, we played a segment last night on television, and they all had, they're all saying this in their little caucuses, that this is just the first step to getting rid of the private sector health care.
Yes. Yes, that's what the president said. I am getting rid of the private sector entirely. Thank you, Glenn.
What a pinhead.
You know what is scary, though? His viewers and his listeners believe that.
Hmm. And the boner, apparently, Jim, supporting the troops is not at the top of his list anymore.
No.
It has dropped below buying bronzer and more bourbon.
I have supported our troops and so have our colleagues, day in and day out. And this is not about whether we're going to support our troops.
Oh, really? It kind of is.
Yeah, it kind of is.
Kind of. You know, that's what you said when Democrats voted against the funding for the troops. Interesting. Huh.
Yeah, called Democrats unpatriotic.
Yeah.
All right.
For voting against funding.
Shano in Pittsburgh, by the way, with a heads up that Rush has stolen Beaver Stack from us. What?
Leave it to Limbaugh.
Obama's legal beavers attacked. Beavers. The courts told him to stuff it.
Nice beaver.
Thank you. I just had a stuck.
The lesbian, gay, bisexers, and the transgenders are livid that his beavers would cite cases involving incest and people marrying children. They're also furious at Obama's limp action.
Hope you weren't too hard on the beaver.
No, not at all.
So for the moment, you have to bend over, grab the ankles, take a back seat. But don't doubt him. Your turn's coming.
Get your own act, Rush. All right.
Yeah, he stole that lock, stock, and barrel from the Stephanie Miller Show.
Mm-hmm. All right. Speaking of domesticated pets like Beaver and my puppy Oliver. Mommy's new puppy Oliver. I needed a little help with that training, as you know. So what did I do? I called another famous national radio.
Sure.
If only he would. Why, Jim, who is it?
It's pet expert and national radio host Warren Eckstein.
Oh, my God. Warren!
Good morning, Stephanie. How are you?
Good morning, sir.
I've been dreaming about your dogs all night.
I've been dreaming about you training my dogs all night. You are my knight in shining armor. You are amazing. You are beyond the dog whisperer.
Well, you know, the way I look at it is that dogs have personalities, dogs have lives, dogs have moods, and let dogs be dogs. I mean, if they want to bark once in a while or sniff another dog in the butt, that's them Googling. Let them do it.
Yeah, you're not the dog Nazi. You like to, because I was laughing because you came in. I was so excited to meet you. I'm like, hi, Warren. And I realized that you weren't on my level anymore. You were kissing my dog in the face.
Well, you have to put your priorities in order, Stephanie. You must be, you know, we talked about that. There are times I walk down the street and I see a cute dog and I just bend down and hug and kiss the dog, never say a thing to the person, and then wonder what this person is thinking about this moron that just kissed their dog and walked away.
You know, in my neighborhood, I swear to you, I don't know anyone's name. I only know the dog's names. I'm like, it's Donut's mom and, you know, Stogie's dad. And
it's the same here. When I walk down, hey, Dukester, how you doing? I have no idea what the people's names are. No, and you know what?
And what does it matter?
I don't care.
Exactly. Now, Warren, you have the storied history. You were in charge of the canine unit in Vietnam. You were the one in charge of the cadaver sniffing dogs at 9/11. So you've been doing this a long time.
Yeah, it's something that, you know, I never really got along well with people, Stephanie. I grew up in a typical Jewish family on Long Island, so too many relatives in the house, so I decided hanging out in the backyard with the rats and the ducks and the stray dogs in the neighborhood was a much better way. So I've always had an affinity to animals, and I've always felt that if you take the time to really get rid of this human ego and just kind of enjoy them for what they are, it's amazing the things I've learned from them more than they've learned from me.
Mm-hmm. I love that you challenged Dennis Prager to a debate on what is the subject?
He believes that only human beings have morals. And my response is basically, he's yet to accept my challenge. But the bottom line is, what I'm going to say is, morals according to whom? Morals according to humans, where there's wars and all this craziness going on, or morals according to the dog in the backyard digging a hole and enjoying the sun?
Right.
Those are the morals I want to follow.
Right. Ask him why a dog is God spelled backwards.
That's exactly what I'm going to do. I will ask him that. And I quote you for saying it, Stephanie.
Yes, that God put dogs on earth to teach people how to love. You tell him I said so.
It's so true.
Debated Dennis Prager. It's not all that. but you know, you have raised an interesting question. You said if you know, there's a what did you say, the dog and a person drowning?
You know, it's a very, very common thing for people to say, you know, human beings are much more important, human life is more important than animal life. So one of the things they've consistently said to me is, of course, Warren, if a human being is drowning and a dog is drowning, you must jump in and save the human being. And my response, Stephanie, has always been, you know what, it depends on who the human being is.
Yeah, what if it's Osama bin Laden? What if it was
Osama
Hitler?
Osama bin Laden and Benji. Benji's coming out. Osama bin Laden needs some help because I'm not jumping in to save him. But it's true. They are so consistent in their love and so unwavering in the way they feel about it. I think that's what I appreciate them. I've yet to have a dog borrow $10 and not pay me back.
So, Warren, I was quoting you on the air because you wrote this great piece on your website. You can go there, WarrenEckstein.com, right? Or ThePetShow.com?
Yeah, either way, I'll get
you
there.
And the case against crate training, because it has just never worked for me. And whenever they say, oh, they love the crate, I'm like, no, they don't.
Well, let's take a look at it. The crate training concept started maybe 15, 20 years ago, and a lot of professional breeders use crates, and I don't have a problem with professional people. But take the average person. The average person gets a dog, they bring it home, they put it in a cage because that's what they heard, they work 8 hours a day, they sleep 8 hours a day, throw in an hour for Kmart, that's 17 hours a day the dog is in a crate. And my question is, why is your dog incarcerated, and who decided you should be the warden?
Mm-hmm.
I believe that my dogs are part of my family. They live in my house. I'm going to take the time to educate them and train them like any other member of the family. But quite honestly, they're part of the family, and they should enjoy the entire house with me.
Well, yeah, and I was saying, you know, you make a great point that when we were growing up, everybody's dog was pretty much house-trained, and nobody had cages. So, you know.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not going to, you know, talk about our ages here, Stephanie, but the bottom line is, yeah, when I was growing up as a kid, I don't remember seeing one cage in a household. Now, I'm also a spokesperson for the Department of Homeland Security on pet safety. So from that perspective, I think everyone needs to have a carry or a crate in the house for emergency evacuations. But in terms of using it for training, I don't see any purpose whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
Whatsoever.
So this was very exciting. So Oliver, it was his first walk yesterday because he finally has all his shots. So I got to do Oliver's first walk with you, which was...
You know, what an incredible... First of all, the two of them, the dynamic duo.
Max
and Oliver walking down the street is just amazing to see. But I was really impressed with Oliver. Here's a dog, and I'm not kissing up to you, believe me, Steffi. I have no reason to kiss up to you.
Listen,
okay?
You didn't kiss up to me nearly as much as my dog, so I believe
exactly
you.
Right. And so the bottom line is, this is a dog. I saw him for his first walk. We took him for a walk, and there was a lot of things to smell. He met a dog on the walk when we were out there. What an incredibly bright dog this is. And you know how I know he's bright? Because when you ask ask him to do something, he kind of looks up and says, why? You know, it's like people say to me, I can't teach my dog anything. My dog is so stupid. And the first thing I say when they tell me that is I realize how intelligent the dog is because the dog looks up and says, hey, you talking to me?
Yeah, I'm going to need some. He gives you the Joe Pesci look. I'm going to need some explanation of why, what the rationale is behind this.
But, you know, one of the most important things, the dog has a great, I'm looking forward to seeing him again. The dog has a great attention span, and he's really one of those dogs that once you get him focused, he's going to want to learn more.
Well, tell me, so I have a dog door in a fenced-in yard, and I was telling you that I thought I had it slammed home. I've had him for about 6 weeks, and I thought he learned the dog door the first day. I'm like, oh, he's the smartest puppy. And then I thought, oh, he's done. And now, of course, I'm going, oh, he's not entirely house trained.
It's like any other relationship. The first few days are fine.
And then it all goes downhill.
You know what happens is once the dog really starts feeling comfortable, and it came from a shelter scenario or a foster scenario.
A shelter and then a rescue, yeah.
Once a dog comes into a new environment and it realizes, you know what, this lady, Stephanie, is going to give me 3 meals a day. She's going to hug me, she's going to kiss me, let me use the remote control and watch whatever I want on TV, I better claim this territory as my own. And one of the ways they do that is by peeing and pooping. And I'm so glad you did not use the word my dog went to the bathroom, because I visualize the dog sitting on a john reading Dog Fancy magazine. They pee and they poop. That's what,
like in Meet the Parents, the cat. Yeah.
There you go.
But this was interesting just for people that, you know, maybe going through this too. So you use an interesting technique.
Well, yeah, the concept here is the confinement aspect is good. So you gate the dog in a small area, and as the dog's being good, what you actually do is increase it a little bit. But
right.
When the dog does,
I increased it too much. I had him just, he didn't do anything in the kitchen, but then I increased it too much, and then, yeah.
And then we all heard the old things. You know, when a dog poops in the house, you got to take him over and stick his nose in and say, bad dog, fooey, what did you do? Wait till daddy comes home. And that's the worst thing you can do, because dogs, like children, will respond. And I was telling you this yesterday, will respond to negative attention. So by taking the dog over to where it had an accident, number one, you're paying a lot of attention to what the dog says, this is great. And number two, no pun intended, all you're doing is telling the dog it's bad to go in that spot. You're not getting across that the act of going is bad. So what I was suggesting to you is to move the dog to a different area in the same basic room and actually move his mess. Not a pleasant job, but, you know,
yeah,
certain things in life we have to do. By moving his mess, we're letting him know it's the act of going that's bad, not just the fact that you went in a specific location.
Right, and so I put it there, and then you tied him up and said no, and then came back 10 minutes later and said no, and then that was it, and then you let him go.
Oh, and the other thing is putting food in the area.
And by the way, I did that the first time last night. He didn't really enjoy that more. No.
But, you know, my goal in life is to make the two of you get along. You can't both be thrilled with me all the time. It's just not going to happen,
exactly.
Stephanie.
Exactly. So, quickly, Warren, before you go, I love the whole that you trained the canine. You served in Vietnam.
Yeah, I did. And
so was the drug sniffing and cadaver dogs.
Well, you know, it was kind of interesting because I always knew who had the best drugs. So it was kind of
in Vietnam. Good, yes. You know, I have a friend that served several tours in Vietnam, and I once said to him, I said, wow, you're really a great American. He goes, no, I actually was making a lot of money selling drugs.
You're not going to get me to go there, but I did learn about listening to Jimi Hendrix and the Doors.
The website is warrenexstein.com. There's a link up at stephaniemiller.com, and we'll get some pictures up later today, Warren, from our session. But thank you so much.
Hey, just quickly, Stephanie, when I got home yesterday after seeing your dogs,
yes,
my dogs were so jealous. They're still not talking to me.
I bet. I bet. They know you were all sleazing around.
I was cheating. They know it.
What is that smell on you? All right, Warren, thank you so much, and I'll see you at my pad next week.
Looking forward to it.
All right, there he goes. Warren Eckstein.
Oh, you've got a weekly appointment with Warren?
Says he's coming back next week. I just called him I thought he'd give me some tips or recommend someone. He's like, I'll come to your house.
Okay.
And there he was, at my door. World famous pet expert.
He doesn't seem as new agey as I thought.
Thank you for dialing back your snark.
Hey!
All right. Amy in Rhode Island, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hey, Amy.
Hey, I have a little, a medium Australian Labradoodle, and he's chocolate-colored. He's gorgeous. Anyway, he loves his playpen, because now they have playpens that look like playpens, and when I'm not home, he just automatically goes into his playpen. I never put him in his playpen and closed it.
I think playpens are better than crates, because that's really a cage. At least, it's more open, right?
Yes, and I had a big net, like a big gate around his playpen that's open. So he goes in there, and that's his space. And I was telling the person that answered that whenever I'm arguing with one of the kids or he feels a ruckus coming on, he goes ahead into his playpen, and since it's open on the top two,
oh boy,
he sticks his little head out.
Oh, that's so cute. We got to get one of those in here for when things get things get heated. I'll go in my playpen. All right, Jim, real quick.
Eh?
Guess the quote. Who said, I came to the conclusion recently, and frankly, it's because of what Clinton put his whole cabinet through and what he's put the country through. He has no credibility left. Who said that?
Billy Strayhorn.
Senator John Ensign, the Republican of Nevada, who had apparently what happened in Vegas did not stay in Vegas. He had a little extramarital activity that he had a little press conference about. Jim, who said before there were hearings on Packwood, Reid said he would vote for his expulsion. In 1998, he says we have to wait until all the facts come out on Clinton. Who said that?
Captain Kangaroo.
No, Senator John Ensign, who confessed to a little marital infidelity yesterday. Jim, who said that's one of the things I'm proudest about our leadership is the swift action, not only calling for an immediate Senate investigation, ethics investigation, removing Larry Craig from his committees, but also sending the signal to him that it was probably best that he resign. Who said that?
Ensign Pulver.
No. Who? Senator John Ensign, Republican of Nevada, who... Okay, we will give you the details of all of that, as much as it pains me. When we can...
And his lovely wife...
Darlene. Hi, I'm Darlene Ensign. 21 minutes after the hour.
Cubby, Roy, Darlene.
Right back with all that as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
It's positively delightful.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 25 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Congressman Frank Pallone, Democrat of the great state of New Jersey, coming up in just a couple of minutes. Meanwhile, Republican Senator John Ensign, a rising star in the Republican Party, considering a 2012 presidential bid.
I think not.
I think he'll think about that and get back to you. He held a press conference, to which I asked you what, Chris? Why? But poor Kay, why, Chris, would he hold a press conference to announce such a thing?
Some say that he was being blackmailed.
Oh, mm-hmm. Is that what some say?
Some say it was about to leak.
As they say.
Yep.
Here's some fun facts about him. He'd have been a leading conservative among Senate Republicans, playing a key role in demanding the resignation of Larry Craig. Ensign called Craig a disgrace after the unpleasantness.
I love my wife.
Yes.
What do you think of that?
Well, they have
Let
some...
me be clear. I am not gay. I never have been gay.
I just have a wide stance.
They have something in common. They both love their wives. See? He and Larry Craig.
Yes, they
do.
You
see that? He acknowledged an extramarital affair with a campaign staffer in a statement released by his office. He said, I deeply regret and am very sorry for my actions. The affair began in December 2007, reportedly, and ended in August 2008. Ensign's wife, Darlene...
Bless her heart.
The latest deer in the headlights, Republican wife. Said the couple's marriage has become stronger and added, I love my husband. Oh, boy. See, men all over the country. See, honey, that's how you strengthen a marriage. See how strong their marriage is?
Yeah, just stoop a staffer. That's how you strengthen a marriage.
Ensign said, last year I had an affair. I violated the vows of my marriage. The woman, here's where it gets a little interesting. The woman who I was involved with and her husband were close friends of mine.
Yes.
Yeah.
Were
close friends of yours. In fact, they were on the ensign payroll.
Yeah, they were staffers.
2008. Staffers, yeah.
Was there swinging going on or just the wife? I don't really know. He added, sometimes men need a wingman for sex. They need a buddy, He added that he was, quote, committed to my service in the United States Senate. You heard him, Nevada. He will service you as well. He will continue to service you, John Ensign will.
Were there any diapers involved?
I don't know. No more details.
Huh.
Darn it.
All right.
28 minutes after the hour, back with Representative Frank Pallone, Democrat of the great state of New Jersey, on the Celebrity Hotline next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
If there was one thing
Stephanie Miller
was sure of, it was that her brand of tuna was best.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 33 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Oh, boy. Okay, here we go. House Republicans will unveil their version of health care legislation, today?
Uh-huh.
According to John Boehner, the majority leader. Hmm. I wonder if it'll be just like his pretty shiny budget thing that had no numbers in it. You remember, they came up with their own budget.
That's right.
They rushed a little bit. There were no numbers. But there were nice graphics, which is nice.
Our health care plan is don't get sick.
Yeah, well, we've summed up their health care plan.
For God's sake, just die.
Yes. Clogging up the health care system. If only there was someone of a rational mind that we could talk to about health care, huh?
From the great state of New Jersey, it's Representative Frank Pallone.
Love us some Congressman Pallone. Good morning, Congressman.
Hi, Stephanie. How you doing?
Good. Nice to talk to you again.
You too.
So give us the latest on the health care debate, because it's tough to follow. I have no idea what's going to be in this Republican plan. Do you?
No, I really don't. I know that our plan is going to be unveiled, the House plan, Democrats' plan, although I like to hope that it be bipartisan, is going to be unveiled either tomorrow or Friday at the latest. So you'll have ours in the next day or two.
Mm-hmm. What, Congressman, this is always kind of a vexing question for me, but why when, we look at the polls, I think you see it's like maybe 63% of the American people want single payer. They want a more progressive program than is even on the table currently. Why do we keep hearing Democrats say, I don't know if we have the votes for even a government option? I hate to say it this way, but why do we even need Republican votes?
Well, I would say that we probably have maybe 120, maybe half of the Democrats in the House that would support a single-payer system. So we're nowhere near what would be necessary to pass it. And if you ask me why that's true, I guess because a lot of the Democrats come from more conservative areas, and they feel that they want to build on the current system and not move to something that's very different and, kind of the European model, which is not necessarily seen as favorable. I mean, it's really political more than anything else.
Right. Well, I thought Howard Dean said something really interesting the other day. Dr. Dean said, this is really a Senate problem, not doing something about the American problem of health care, because
think a single payer, though, Stephanie.
No, I'm not talking about single payer. He was actually talking about this co-op compromise. His opinion, felt it wouldn't work. He said we need a public option, and we have the votes to get it. I mean, clearly the Republicans have given us nothing but obstruction. And
I think that you could, if you didn't have a public option, it would be impossible to keep the costs down. In other words, you could have a health marketplace with only private insurers and not a public option, but then the costs wouldn't come down significantly. So I think that the major focus of this is to try to reduce costs, because healthcare inflation is so high and people don't think we can continue with the status quo because of the cost. So, I think that's the key. It's not that you couldn't do a totally private system, but it wouldn't bring down the cost.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Well, that's but what my point is, is a public option going to be in there?
Oh, it will be. I honestly believe that the public option, well, first of all, it will be in the House version, and it'll pass the House. And I think ultimately the Senate will go along with it for the very reason I just described, which is they have no way of keeping costs down over the next 10 or 15 years if there is no public option.
Mm-hmm. Senator Chris Dodd had this to say yesterday about taxing health benefits. Just take a listen.
I think, frankly, that's going to be a source of tremendous frustration for a lot of people at a time, frankly, when their costs on home heating oil and job loss and foreclosure matters and so forth are mounting up on them, tuition costs, and the idea of leveling a tax on them at this time here, I don't think will be met very favorably.
I agree with Senator Dodd.
Do
you agree? Uh-huh.
Yeah, and I think because, we're basically saying that if people like their health insurance now, they would keep it, and that we don't want to alter that. But if you start taxing benefits, then you are changing it, because people, some people will not be able to afford a better plan, a more comprehensive plan, and then you start ratcheting down, and essentially because of the tax, forcing people to take, less comprehensive plan. And I think that goes against the whole idea that people can keep what they have. So I don't think that the House will will pass a bill that includes, I don't think it's likely they'll pass a bill that includes a tax on benefits.
Mm-hmm. So, Congressman Pallone, the war funding legislation survived a partisan battle in the House. Here's what I don't get. For 8 years, you were called troop haters. All the Democrats were called troop haters that did not vote for, war funding bills. John Boehner actually said yesterday a no vote on the war spending bill protects the troops.
It's just ridiculous because, I didn't vote for the Iraq war. I didn't vote for the resolution. I didn't vote for funding for the war. And the reason I voted for this bill was because now the president has a plan
to get out,
to get out in a rational way to withdraw. So, for him to suggest that somehow, you're not supporting the troops by voting to fund the troops, it just doesn't make any sense at all. Unless he's saying that he wants the war to go on for another 5 or 10 years. But even so, you should vote for to fund the war now if you believe in it. Mm-hmm. I don't, but
right.
He's totally inconsistent.
Right, but exactly. How do you get them out? You can't cut funding, in the middle of the war, in my opinion. But anyway,
exactly.
But I love, he said yesterday, John Boehner, there's nobody in America that can doubt that I have a lot of support for our troops. Actually, there's two of us right here, you and I. That's
I know.
Two. But, I mean, it really is amazing the lengths they'll go to be the party of no.
They just don't want us to be able to pass anything, Stephanie. That's the problem. Now, that's the leadership. I'm not suggesting that every Republican's like that. I think there are a lot of Republicans that would like to cooperate with us on health care, energy, on a lot of these issues. But the leadership, very much the no naysayer on everything.
Mm-hmm. There, what the Republicans say, it's because of the increase for the IMF, the International Monetary Fund, to help aid nations affected by the global financial crisis.
But he supported that in the past too, Boehner has. So that doesn't make any sense either. He's been quoted in the past as supporting the IMF funding. So.
Right, and plus it's like, that's the other thing is, they scream the loudest about things that this is less than 5% of this bill.
Now, it's all about not, saying the Democrats have to pass everything on their own and we're not going to support anything. And it's sad because, again, as I said, there are a lot of Republicans that would like to support us on some of these issues and work with us. And we've been trying to reach out. So hopefully that changes, but it hasn't yet.
I was on the Ed show the other day on MSNBC, Congressman, and I thought, one of the right wing hosts I was debating, sometimes they accidentally play their hand. She basically said, I hope you don't get any votes on health care, and then you own it. And then when it fails, it's like they literally are rooting for the failure of health care, of the economy, of the president in general, so that they can win political points.
And, part of the problem, Stephanie, is that the Republican Party is relying so much on these message people like, the Newt Gingriches and the Rush Limbaughs. And I think they drive that, too, because they just, because they're people like Rush Limbaugh are not actually in office and don't have to go before the voters, they can take these sort of extremist, negative positions. Whereas if you have to actually stand to the before the voters, you've got to be more of a consensus person, and you can't do that, And it's just unfortunate because when those people lead the party, then the Republican who wants to work on some of these issues is not allowed to.
Right. Well, it's like the stimulus. You can be against it in theory, but the fact that it is starting to create jobs, it is.
Exactly.
And then you've got Senator Tom Coburn spending his time coming up with a list of things that seem unnecessary or what, and they I believe the advisor to the president for the Recovery Act said there's bound to be some mistakes, but a lot of them have been they've shut them down immediately. Senator Coburn's report, they said, is filled with inaccuracies, including criticisms of projects that have already been stopped, projects that never were approved, or some projects that are working quite well. But
the problem is that everything is from the perspective. A lot of these, like you take a bridge project, it's easy to say that a bridge project in somebody else's district is not necessary because you're not there. That's the problem.
Right, right. Well, I think, yes. In fact, I think he picked out one specifically in Wisconsin. And, of course, the head there said, yes, this bridge is worn out. This bridge needs to be replaced. So you're right. But, again, it's just to me, it's small ball. That's all they seem to have. They try to pick out something that seems media ready that, they can make something look silly.
Exactly.
In the meantime, get to work on our problems like Congressman Frank Pallone. Thank you, sir. We appreciate you taking time for us, always.
Take care. Thanks
a
lot.
There he goes. Frank Pallone. I finished the entire interview without once
Calling him Frank Stallone?
Exactly. Or asking about his mom doing psychic butt readings.
Yeah.
I thought I was in.
Mm. All right.
You put me down and say I'm going nowhere.
All right. 43 minutes after the hour. The Republicans hate the troops, and their health care plan is
on top of our list.
And they want you to die.
Yes.
Am I being unfair?
No, you're not being unfair. Okay. That's completely true.
Good. We'll talk about that when we continue. 43 minutes after the hour, the Stephanie Miller Show.
It's a beautiful miracle of nature.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Get it, ride it. It is the Stephanie Miller Show.
Shark monkey? What?
What? 48 minutes after the hour.
Call back to last hour.
1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere.
Excuse me while I kiss this guy? There's a bathroom on the right? What?
Alex? Jim is too used to imitating the right-wingers I go on TV with, just blurt things out that make no sense in the middle of my...
No, I'm referring to...
Yeah, misheard lyrics. Yes,
misheard lyrics.
Yeah, I used to think that Our Lips Are Sealed was Alex the Seal.
Oh.
Alex the Seal.
Yes.
Armin in Florida on healthcare. Hey, Armin.
First, I want to start off and say I really, truly appreciate the effort that I think that you have personally put forth to try to have a rational debate about a rational debate about health care.
Thank
and
you.
I've saw you on I've seen you on Larry King and
Thank
I see you on the Ed Show.
Thank you.
And I believe that you're for real and you're genuine.
Good. Well, I'm faking it well enough then. Good. I am adding to the rationality of the discussion.
Yeah.
Okay.
But anyway, the problem is we don't have enough Stephanies. Not that there's too many. But
that's
anyway.
The problem with healthcare in America. Yes. All right. Go ahead, Armin. What's your point? What's your take on healthcare?
I think that we have a maze, and what's the old saying? Oh, what a terrible web we weave when first we practice to deceive.
Mm-hmm.
I think, unfortunately, I got to be honest. I think that the Congress is running a protection racket and an extraction racket, and it's all feeding off the taxpayers that aren't truly being represented.
Mm-hmm.
And you make a lot of points about the right. The right uses very singular dimensional debate talking points, and they keep their people, their rank and file, confused or memorized.
Mm-hmm.
By
I currently hate everybody, though. I think the Democrats need to get a spinal transplant before they pass the health care reform that's going to be meaningful.
Well, here's what troubles me, Stephanie. Stop and think about this. They're telling us we can't have socialized medicine, but they force you and me and everybody else in to pay for an absolute socialized VA system, and they say socialism won't work in health care. Well, the VA
system... Yeah, and meanwhile, their plan works just fine. Their fancy government plan seems to be working just Jim Dandy for them, doesn't it?
Yes,
and Medicare.
Yes, Al in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hi, Steph.
Hi, go ahead.
I had a comment about how I think that a lot of people on the left don't really call out Hannity and Beck and Limbaugh and O'Reilly and their ilk for what they really are. Because I think if you look at, you know, the extreme nationalism, the xenophobia, the extreme militarism, you know, the corporatism hidden behind the populist rhetoric, The big lie is political theater. These guys are fascists. They hit every single category, and I think we're seeing an American version of fascism coming at us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's why they always call Obama a fascist, because it's and I know you are, but what am I kind of argument.
Well, Prescott Bush was shooting for that very thing, a fascist government, when he plotted to overthrow the Roosevelt administration.
Mm-hmm. Sean Hannity on our sneaky socialist plans on
They're
healthcare.
They're trying to be really sneaky with the numbers and deceptive to the American people because they, they said, well, maybe we won't use the Congressional Budget Office numbers. Maybe we'll use the Office of Management and Budget numbers, which means they're going to cook the books. You know, they're always going to create a rosy scenario projection that's never accurate. Mm. There are unforeseen costs. Mm. They almost always downplay what the real cost is. Mm. So they're really being dishonest with the American people about how much this is going to really cost us.
Oh, you mean like not actually putting the money for the wars in the actual
budget?
Yeah, in the budget like the Bush administration did?
Yeah.
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 They're being honest with us. If only they'd be as honest as George Bush was.
If only. Oh, well.
And how expensive is it for people to die because they're denied health insurance?
Exactly.
Jim, I have a question for you. That costs a life, actually.
Why do the Republicans hate the troops so much?
Was that a rhetorical question?
There is no answer.
Yeah.
It's just what they did to us for 8 years. Because House Republicans are preparing to vote against the war spending bill.
Huh.
A position once unthinkable for the party that characterized the money as support for the troops. For years, Republicans portrayed the bills funding the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan as matters of national security. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
And accused Democrats who voted against them of voting against the troops. But this year, of course, is different.
Oh, how, Stephanie?
Well, because they're not in power anymore. So, it's about this. We just talked to the congressman about it. It's this less than 5%. It's the funding for the IMF. It has something to do with poor people, poor countries, and they don't want that. Anyway, but it's less than 5% of the spending. It says a source there said it seems like they're putting the interest of the Republican Party in the ability for them to develop a campaign narrative ahead of the interest of the troops, which is becoming the case on each and every issue. Yes. They're not really so much concerned with you getting health care or with the economy getting better or people getting jobs.
They want to take Obama down
a
peg.
Yep. Yes.
Their whole
Representative James Clyburn, Democrat of South Carolina.
So we have a caucus that is very, very interested in supporting our troops, but they have different timetables as to how that ought to be done.
Representative Dennis Kucinich voting against it, because as he has always been, obviously, against the war.
For the life of me, I don't understand why we should change our position and start supporting a war, making it a democratic war at a time when the American people want us to start focusing on things here at home.
He has a good point. At least he's consistent.
Yeah. Well, exactly. But obviously, to me, how can you cut the funding in the middle of a war? You got to get them out.
I respect him for being consistent.
Well, exactly. At least he was against it.
Bill O'Reilly respects him for being consistent like that as well. So I know. Kucinich goes on the O'Reilly Factor every once in a while.
I took a shot at Bill O'Reilly on Ed's show yesterday.
You did. What'd you say?
Oh, because we were talking about getting David Letterman fired, and I said, please, Bill O'Reilly just incited people with a history of violence, and it's resulted in the murder of a doctor. So, and David Letterman should get fired for a joke that he apologized for? Please.
Oh.
All right. Will that get me on the what's his thing? I don't know which the list his thing is that I've been trying to get on for years, you know.
Oh, he stopped doing the most ridiculous item of the day.
Oh, damn it.
Yeah, sorry.
All right. I think I mentioned the boner says a no vote on the war spending bill actually protects the troops.
What?
Pui?
Huh?
Quonk?
How does he,
Quonk?
What?
See, they'll fight harder if they don't have the money. They need incentives to fight harder.
I've supported our troops and so have our colleagues, day in and day out.
Mm.
And this is not about whether we're going to support our troops.
Oh, no. Now it's not. Before, when Democrats was the top of our list, it's not the top of our list anymore.
Thank you. Let's go to
Roger and Bourbon at the top of my list.
Dave in Chicago on healthcare. Hi, Dave.
Hey, how are you? Yeah, I was looking. I'm very frustrated with both parties as well, Stephanie. I looked up Max Baucus, our great friend and wonderful Democrat. He's taking more money from the health industry, health insurance, and pharmaceuticals than any other Democrat. His staffers, he's got a huge staff, and many of them are also lobbyists for the pharmaceuticals and healthcare industry. And the man has been receiving the wonderful health care that we, the taxpayers, have been providing.
Well, Dave, you do get that. You're welcome to the We Hate Everybody party. That's the party we're members of now. But don't you get that feeling like the deck is kind of stacked against us for getting really meaningful health care?
Okay, I'm going to finish with the joke, but if I wanted Republican policies, I would have voted for the Republicans.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now that's it. And I'm now here's the Dave from Chicago joke of the day.
Okay.
And I apologize.
Uh-huh.
What is the difference when Democrats win and Republicans win?
What?
Republicans win and rub your nose in it. Democrats win, apologize, and promise never to do it again.
Huh.
Yeah, that is true.
All right.
That is true.
All right. Let's
go. We're too nice.
Tom in, no, we're not, you idiot. Hey. Tom in Los Angeles, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hi, Tom.
Yeah, Stephanie, I have a question, actually, for all you guys, actually. What I want to know is, why does it always seem like we on the left are always having to be on the defense, and for some reason, the Republican side always seems to get on the offense, and then we're always defending ourselves.
Why are you calling me defensive? I'm not defensive.
No, you know,
see how we did that.
You're the one who's defensive.
I'm not defensive. 57 minutes after the hour. Ronnie Wood of the Rolling Stones releasing a new clothing line.
What?
We'll hear from him next in Tinsel.
Will it be coherent?
The Tinsel Talk next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
First. Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Carl Frisch, senior fellow at Media Matters. Coming up on the Celebrity
Hotline. Senior fellow.
Yes.
Yes.
To discuss the growing tide of right-wing hate media against the president and others. StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris Lavoie, voice deity Jim Ward, and me, Stephanie Miller. The president talking about the situation in Iran yesterday.
When I see violence directed at peaceful protesters, when I see peaceful dissent being suppressed, wherever that takes place, it is of concern to me and it's of concern to the American people.
All right. And him talking about the North Korean situation as well yesterday.
We approach cooperation between various countries to enforce this is something that the United States, South Korea, China, Russia, all relevant actors, Japan, all relevant actors will be discussing in the months to come.
Uh-oh, Jim. North Korea warned today of a thousand-fold military retaliation. If the
thousand-fold military retaliation, you better watch your step.
Okay. I just thought that would sound more threatening.
Thousand-fold? Really?
Yeah. Really?
Wow.
Really?
All right.
Just that to refeed everybody so they have enough energy for a thousand-fold military retaliation.
Did you know that Pyongyang has a subway system, but that nobody rides it because everybody's fearing that they will get electrocuted if they do, which is quite common on the Pyongyang subway?
So it was built by Blackwater.
I hate when that happens.
Yeah. That's
another big government contract.
That's all we'll get them. They'll electrocute them on their own subway.
Yeah. Good.
All right. Meanwhile, in case you haven't heard the...
Right-wing hypocrites!
Breaking news today, Republican Senator John Ensign of Nevada, who was a big critic, as you recall, of Bill Clinton's dalliances and Larry Craig and...
Whatever.
Blah, blah, blah. He had to have a little press conference yesterday announcing that he had had some extracurricular activities of his own.
Now to politics and a brand new sex scandal that involves a Republican senator.
What happens in Vegas?
How lucky.
Nevada.
Republican Senator John Ensign has admitted to an affair.
Like the fella once said.
Closeness. Put me into situations.
You wasn't my fault. I swear to God.
During a very difficult time in my marriage, which led to my inappropriate behavior.
Like the sailor said, quote.
The same Senator Ensign who demanded that President Clinton resign because of his affair with Monica Lewinsky.
I did have sexual relations with that woman.
Nobody squeezes the sharp. Nobody but you, hypocrite.
Senator Ensign, don't tell me you're going to be a hypocritical politician.
Jackpot.
Thank you, Shano. All right. Speaking of affairs, JC would like to have an affair with me. Yesterday I asked a caller, he said he served in the military alongside gay troops from many countries, including Dutch troops. He said he showered, and so I asked, what's it like to shower with a gay Dutchman? That was my main question.
And that was the question of the day.
Yes.
For a Flying Dutchman.
Yes. I said, what is it like to shower with a gay Dutchman? JC writes, Steph, it was mentioned yesterday that you dream of showering with a gay Dutchman. If that's actually the case, I may be able to help you out. You see, I also have a dream, and that dream is to shower with you. Unfortunately,
is he a gay Dutchman?
I am neither gay nor Dutch.
Oh.
I am, however, willing to travel to the Netherlands and get my gay on if it will secure me a spot in the shower with you. I think the plan is pretty solid, as it would make both of our dreams come true. In the interest of full disclosure, I should mention this will not happen unless my wife approves.
Oh.
And that might be a hard sell. She digs you too, though, so maybe if you two could meet and hit it off, we could all hit the Netherlands and do the gay thing. JC, with the proposition for the day for Mama.
The implication is that Wagner's Flying Dutchman was light in the wooden shoes.
Don't know.
So he proposed a little HLA between his wife and you?
Wow.
Speaking of Mama's sluttiness, I will not be moving to Brooksville, Florida. The city council has approved a citywide dress code requiring city employees to wear underwears.
Yeah, you can't do that because you, as we all know, you go commando everywhere.
Commando Eagle.
Exactly.
It's an eagle without underpants.
I go commando eagle. That's what I do.
You do.
All right. Someone sent me a drunk stack. In the name of science, 8 men and 7 women drank alcohol through a straw while lying in an MRI scanner. That wasn't I invited. It went to their heads quickly, the researchers say. Only 6 minutes after consuming what amounts to 3 beers, changes had already taken place in the brain cells. What a bunch of lightweights.
Well, that's because they were A, lying down, and B, drinking it through a straw.
Lightweights.
And they were in some kind of party MRI machine, which I was not aware that you had.
Disco lights.
Seats 10. That's why.
It's like one of those big jacuzzis.
Yeah. They pass out the glow sticks. You know.
All right. We're going on vacation. I'm going to go hiking somewhere, I think.
And Hal Sparks will be filling in for us all vacation long.
Here's something. Jeremy has sent a new... I didn't even know this existed. There's powdered red wine in a bag, everybody. Look at that.
Ah, for camping.
Trek and eat. Yes.
Is it alcoholic?
Yes.
Of course.
You just add water. It's powdered red wine in a bag.
Can you powder alcohol? I thought when you dried alcohol, it just disappeared.
That would be tricky, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Find out what they say. All right. Whether it's around the dinner table or in front of the TV, U.S. families say they are spending less time with each other. The decline in family time coincides with the rise in internet use and the popularity of social networks. Families essentially ignoring each other. You guys are my work family, and you ignore me all the time, don't you, Jim?
What did you say?
What'd you say?
What are you doing? You're on the internet? Are you on the internet? Are you?
What?
See, 28. Never mind. I don't need to do the rest of this story. I live it every day.
What do you mean you live it every day?
Because he doesn't pay attention to me, do you, Jim?
Sorry, what?
All right. Anyway, let's check some entertainment news.
Watching a video of Jimmy Page's daughter.
Of Jimmy Page's daughter?
Yes. She did a photo shoot for some Welsh band.
Is she hot?
See?
She's cute.
It's time for
did I make my point?
I just found a great video of a cat playing a piano.
Oh,
my God, it's great.
Oh, playing him out?
Play me out, piano cat.
I know the
guy
who did.
Pay attention to me!
I know the guy who did that.
Oh, really?
He works at the other Premier building.
It's your job to pay attention to me. I'm talking. This is
Stephanie Miller.
That's what this is.
I love keyboard cat.
Listen to me.
No, don't speak.
Oh.
Play the out, keyboard cat.
It's so like being married to both of you. Neither of you pay any attention to me, do you? All right, our top story. I'll just slog on alone like I do every morning. Move aside, Brad Pitt. U.S. President Barack Obama has beaten all the usual male style icons to be named the world's most stylish man in a poll.
Even Michael Moore?
Yes, well. Brad Pitt came in second. We have Obama, do we?
We have Brad Pitt and Obama.
Oh, good.
Whoa, this is shocking. When it comes to the stylish man poll, up to now I've always been the head. I mean, I've always been at the very tip top.
Oh.
I've never had any real competition for the likes of Beckham and Pacino. I mean, their positions in the man pool have always been kind of halfway up, you know, sort of in the middle. I come first year after year because I stoke the poll with skill and understanding. Lots of style, of course. My excellence in the man pool was one of the things that got Angelina to go for me and dump that cracker Billy Bob Thornton, who definitely has no place on the stylish man pool. Now Obama's come along and stripped me of my head position on the stylish man pool. Coming second this year is making me hang my head. Obama, are you disrespecting my stylish man pool? Are you giving me the shaft?
Brad. Let loose of the pool. Now let me get a grip on it. You got your licks in long enough, and now it's my turn to clamber hand over hand to the absolute pinnacle of the stylish man pool. You knew it was just a matter of time before brother would walk away with the honors as the boss hog of the stylish man pole. I've gone deeper with the pole, and wider, and for much, much longer. So I think I've earned the title of the Mr. Big of the stylish man pole. So take your place in my shadow and look up at the glory of my stylish man pole, which I will take firmly in hand. Okay, you're right, Michelle. That's quite enough of that. Oh, what did I do? Jeez, I thought Angelina had a good arm. Spend a second for it.
Yeah, okay.
And finally, Rolling Stones rocker Ronnie Woods is set to share his style secrets with his adoring fans. He's planning to launch his own fashion line. The range is said to fuse rock and roll and floral patterns in a cauldron, in a cauldron of mixed media innovation.
That's impossible to fuse rock and roll and floral patterns.
Fabulous.
If you're high enough.
I suppose they did it in the 60s.
Yeah, you know, it feels like it's time to branch out. And by that, I don't mean jumping my wife for several decades and mucking about with some Russian tart who's young enough to be my joint. My younger sister. I'm talking about expanding my artistic horizons. I've got the music thing down, and my art exhibits always draw a crowd. I thought it was high time I delved into the world of fashion. I've teamed up with Liberty of London to produce a clothing line based on my own fashion sense. I didn't know I had a fashion sense, actually. Half the time I was so knackered I accidentally put on my wife's capri pants and tube top. I didn't realise it till I was on stage. We're actually the same size, you know, somewhere between Twiggy and Amy Winehouse. The line is meant to fuse rock and roll with floral patterns in a cauldron of mixed media innovation, whatever that means. But as a veteran alcoholic rock star, I understand the importance of camouflage. For instance, tie-dye shirts with patterns suggesting frequent and copious vomiting, with potpourri sachets woven into the fabric to mask the smell of the actual vomit. Trousers with expanding areas of dark colour about the crotch to make the audience wonder, has he just pissed himself? probably, I don't know. I can't feel my legs. The point is, what is the point? Oh yeah, the Stones are getting fed up with my drinking problem. Switch coming from Keith. And I could get the bums rushed at any moment. My ex has all my money, so I need a new gig. And a bucket.
Lots of body falls in that tinsel top.
Yeah, a lot of people fell.
A lot of people on the floor. A lot of people were harmed in the making of the tinsel talk. That's all for Tinsel Talk. I'm here all week. Tell your friends if you'd like more Jim Ward Bald Roll.
Check out Jim Ward's Apocryphal But True, which there's a tile ad at the Stephanie Miller website. That'd be stephaniemiller.com.
Boy, howdy. Ira in Los Angeles on Mama on the TV Machine yesterday on Ed. The Ed Show on MSNBC. Hello, Ira. Hello. Hello. I did that wrong. I did something wrong.
No, Ira's gone.
Oh, all right. By the by, so we were talking about the Palin-Letterman, what do you call it? Whatever the hell
protest
it is.
Protest? Yeah. Thing?
Did you see the, Jim, the Fire Letterman protest? It was like 40 people.
Yeah. Oh, what a freak show that was.
Yeah.
Yeah, or Sean Hannity said there was mass outrage yesterday.
Mass outrage. Literally tens of people.
Greta
Van
Susteren.
It was like I'm trying to gin up those stupid teabaggers.
Yeah, Greta Van Susteren had to have close shots of the crowds to make it look bigger. She couldn't do a wide shot because there was no wide shot.
Somebody was there, I don't know what time, but they said there was actually like 15. When they went, there were 15 people. Ah, hilarious. Okay, Sue in Rockville, Maryland on the Letterman protests. Hello, Sue.
Hey, good morning. Yep, that's what I was calling about. Not only, but, you know, it's typical of the right wing that they're, you know, Sean Hannity and this moron, John Ziegler, dreamed this whole thing up.
Yep.
And then what happened with Ziegler is as soon as he noticed no one was there, he jumped into a cab and he sped out of the town. He went running away. But the other thing that I really need to tell you about is that we found Harriet from the Hillary Clinton campaign. She was one of the protesters.
Really?
Yesterday. Oh, Harriet.
If you saw her, it would look just like her.
Oh, Harriet, the Hillary supporter that got very upset at the Democratic meeting.
Yes.
If
you look at some of the pictures on Huffington Post, you'll swear that it's exactly the same person.
Oh, so she's a Sarah Palin supporter, is she?
It sounds like that's where they went.
Yes, because, you know, Hillary and Sarah Palin, exactly the same politically. Yes, good job, Harriet, good job.
Well,
you're throwing your life away.
But what an inadequate blackmail!
Well, if you add hair dye and about 200 IQ points to what's her face, you get Hillary Clinton.
Oh boy! All right, we got to. You know what? We have to. We'll see if we can shake up our Harriet montage to see if we can, for a little tribute to Harriet being one of the 15 people at the David Letterman Fire Letterman rally. Aww. Bless her heart. That and much more celebrity stack, including naked girls, Jim.
Huh?
Huh? What? As we continue on the Stephanie
on
Miller
the radio.
Show.
Yowza!
We're an unusual family.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Word, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 25 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number toll free from anywhere. Ira in L.A. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show on Mama on the TV Machine. Hi, Ira.
How you doing?
Good.
Say, I'm sorry I wasn't there earlier, but here's a suggestion. I saw you on the Ed Show. You were excellent. What I think is if you use polygraph as a challenge, someone says somebody on the right, O'Reilly, or somebody says something, and you know it's a lie, you challenge them personally. Say, I, Stephanie Miller, is going to challenge you to a polygraph challenge. If you can say that and pass the test, you know, because it's going to put them on the defensive. It's going to expose their dishonesty. It will also damage their credibility and delete this group of pundits that are going to come up and tell these blatant lies.
And in addition to that, Ira, they will never, ever agree to it. But thank you for your suggestion.
Well, it's one of those.
All right.
The fact that they won't take it, you know, exposes them anyway.
That's right. Thank you, Ira. All right. I will put that in my box. Suggestion box. All right.
That's what I thought you meant. Yes.
Yes, we were talking about the Sarah Palin Letterman spat yesterday on the Ed Show, and we were just informed that Harriet of Hillary Clinton fame was one of the protesters at the Fire David Letterman protest of 15, 20, I don't know, 40 people, whatever.
They want to do what they want to do. That's not my America.
What's the matter with you? Your life's going down the toilet.
And the Democrats are throwing the election away. Throwing it all away. Throwing it all away.
Snap out of it.
Our Democratic Party threw us down the tube. Damn the Democrats. I'm not going to shut my mouth.
I'm going to kick you till you're dead.
I'm no second-class citizen. I got news for all of you. McCain will be the next president.
You're throwing your life away.
Right.
Throwing this fault away.
From DJ in the Empire State way back when.
I miss us and Harriet.
I'm proud to be an older American.
You betcha.
Okay.
Also, too.
All right. Who would like some supermodel diet tips?
Huh?
Kate Moss insists on keeping 100 cigarettes nearby at all times.
Yes.
She loves smoking so much she makes her personal assistant leave a packet of her favorite Marlboro Lights on every table in her home before she goes to bed. She has 5 coffee tables spread between her living room, kitchen, office, and bedroom, so that's a lot of cigarettes.
Nicotine's an appetite suppressant.
She also has a special tennis ball with holes for cigarettes to stick out from so visitors can relax with a smoke.
Huh?
She's apparently chain smoking more than ever now and gets up to, goes through about 2 packs a day. That's a little health tip from your favorite supermodel.
Hmm.
Wow, we. Okay, then. 28 minutes after the hour, Jim, I promised you naked girls and naked girls you're going to get. It's a Hugh Hefner celebrity stack story and much more as we continue. 28 minutes after the hour. And then also, I know, Carl Frisch, senior fellow at Media Matters.
You weren't going
to. Calls to talk about the growing tide of hate that the right-wing media is fomenting as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show. I said fomenting.
Stephanie
Stephanie Miller.
You expect me to ignore my fans? They're life and death to me, baby. They're the ones who really make me.
You're not usually a vodka drinker.
Such as I am. It is Stephanie Miller.
Oh, is that bourbon? Oh, that was totally bourbon.
Yeah. 33 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Well, oh, looky here, this just in, some breaking news. A leading civil rights coalition says there's been an increase in white supremacist...
Great.
Can I have my breaking news music, please? Since the election of the first African-American president, the Leadership Conference on Civil Rights Education Fund reported that the economic downturn and fear of immigrants also created to the, considered the increase. This comes in the wake, of course, of the shooting by a white supremacist of that security guard at the Holocaust Museum. The coalition reported the country now averages a hate crime nearly every hour of every day. Special concern is the rising number of hate crimes committed against Hispanics and gays.
Z-Kyle, y'all.
Oh, wonder who could be fomenting that kind of thing. If only there were an expert of some sort. Yeah.
Hey.
Who is it, Jim?
It's that senior fellow at Media Matters for America, Carl Frisch. No relation to Max.
Carl Frisch, come clean. How many junior fellows did you have to step over to get to this position?
I prefer to be called seasoned fellow.
So done. Wow. Well, you know, I was on the Ed Show yesterday on MSNBC, Carl, and it's interesting. Of course, the whole topic was should David Letterman be fired, and I had an opportunity. Yeah. Hee-hee. But I had an opportunity.
How are we doing on time?
To mention Bill O'Reilly and say, are you kidding me? A guy that told a joke that he apologized for should get fired. When there's a guy that has been, you know, an organization, unfortunately, the pro-life movement with a history of violence, and he's targeting a guy that then gets killed, and nobody's talking about that.
Right. You know, Letterman doesn't have his own syndicated talk show. He doesn't sit behind the desk at one of the cable news networks. He doesn't have an op-ed in the op-ed pages talking about Obama's policy. He's just a gap-toothed comedian. I would say that, yes, his comments were, you know, tasteless and off-color and a bit sexist, but he's a comedian, and he's apologized twice for it.
Right.
You know, if anybody wants, they could make their own top 10 list of things that conservatives should be calling for apologies for. All they have to do is go to MediaMatters.org.
Yeah, thank you.
You know,
well, in fact, speaking of which, you know, there was a great piece that talked about, like, Letterman, or, excuse me, Conan, The Tonight Show, Leno, SNL had done just as bad or worse jokes, and there's never been any, you know, there was never any outcry over it.
Right, well, and need we forget John McCain's jokes about Chelsea Clinton?
Yeah.
Or the endless late night jokes about Chelsea Clinton,
mm-hmm.
or the endless right-wing jokes about Chelsea Clinton.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't remember similar cries for apology.
Right.
But anyway, from the right.
My point, Carl, is, you know, in the point of your piece, which was great, is just that, you know, this is what we have been saying. When Janet Napolitano was forced to apologize for a Homeland Security report that essentially said exactly what is happening now, that we need
right.
to be on the lookout for violence from right-wing extremists in this country. And now you look at these string of incidents.
Right, we're not even talking. The crazy thing, the truly nutty thing, was that conservatives would think this report was talking about them. You know, it's like they read it and they're like, interesting. Right-wing nut jobs might do terrible things. Oh, they're talking about us.
Right.
I mean, no logical sense. In the same sense that the report that came out, you know, a couple months earlier about left-wing extremism wasn't about liberals or progressives.
Right.
And, you know, the reports that they've issued about Muslim extremism weren't about all Muslims.
Right.
These are about extremist fringe elements. And if we needed any further proof that we need to take this seriously, we've had we've had far too many examples over the last few months, whether it's the Tiller murder in Kansas or that shooting in Pennsylvania of those several police officers,
mm-hmm.
Or the murder at the Holocaust Museum here in Washington. We've had plenty of examples of why it's important that this report did come out.
Right, and they are, you know, to state it bluntly, right-wing domestic terrorists.
Right. And, you know, to put a finer point on it, you have to think of, I've been asked before, why do you think these people come to these conclusions? You know, where does this conspiracy-minded sect come from? And I think it's twofold. I think when you've got an environment in the media that for the better part of a year, going back to the campaign, more vicious since the campaign, has been saying socialist, communist, Marxists, Stalinist.
Pals around with terrorists.
Right, pals around with terrorists. Yeah. You know, we must stop him. We hope he fails. You know, he's up to get your guns. He's up to get your liberty. He's up to get your freedom. That sends a very chilling message to the audience. So it's also the same type of rhetoric as the fringe conspiracy theorist, birther type people under different, more soft-sounding terms.
Mm-hmm.
So it reinforces while at the same time not sounding as extreme.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. Is like, how many more of these, Carl, do we have to have? Where, you know, it seems to me that the media really, you know, treads lightly on this when this is getting pretty, you know, it's becoming like one a week.
One life is too many.
Yeah.
And yet it continues. It's just ridiculous to watch these nut jobs on television backpedal whenever this happens. Trying to, you know, it's funny to hear them say in one breath that they can't be held accountable for these people who may have bought their books, may listen to their radio, may post their videos on YouTube and other, you know, white supremacist websites. We can't be responsible for the actions of these crazy people.
Yep.
But I tell you what, that guy was a liberal, the one that shot the Holocaust Museum. He was a liberal.
God, Carl, you know, the thing is, obviously we all do believe in free speech, but that's the thing, is where is the point here? Because you can't expect them to just get a conscience. I don't know if you saw Joan Walsh, God bless her, went out into the belly of the beast on O'Reilly. But she just sort of said, as a human being, she goes, you know, this guy in Tennessee just shot up a church after reading your book, and now it's happened again with Dr. Tiller. Don't you have any, you don't feel bad a little?
Well, and, you know, to put, you know, even worse, you've got that, or just as worse, that guy in Pittsburgh who had been posting Glenn Beck videos where Glenn Beck was saying that Obama was starting concentration camps for conservatives.
Yep.
He was posting those videos on white supremacist websites. So, you know, it does have it. The crazy thing is, if this was me, if I had written a column or said something on the radio or on television that had, then a crazy person had gone out and committed an act of violence and in part used me as justification, I would at least pause and ask myself, what the heck am I doing?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But there is no internal censor here.
You know, what's great about you guys is you just post the actual video or the audio. So, you know, when Bill O'Reilly can actually go on TV and say, I never called him Tiller the baby killer. I just said what other people say. And you guys can post, I don't know, at least 6 examples or 7, 8, 10, whatever it is, of where he absolutely.
But Stephanie, we're taking him out of context.
Yeah,
Out of context. Uh-huh.
No, you put so much context in there that the pages get really, really long, actually.
Yeah.
We're taking him out of context, and if you don't know what the context is, I'll happily supply new context for you in the coming weeks ahead.
Well, I don't understand why he continues to think he can go on TV and lie when you guys are. Are obviously.
He works at Fox News.
Yeah, exactly.
Fox News has just become hysterical. In the last year, it's gotten worse. You've got Bill O'Reilly, Glenn Beck, Sean Hannity, who now flies solo, and the whole lot of them every day marching to the beat of their own drummer, trumping up cries of socialism, going after. You know, Hannity is particularly awful with clipping video to make it sound like Obama's apologizing for terrorism or giving excuses for 9/11.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the king of doctoring video.
Yep.
So this stuff all has an impact over time. It's not like it's a serious discussion of policy. Media Matters is not out there to stop conservative thought or to stop conservative opinion. It has a rightful place in the public debate, even if we think it's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But these guys are not living up to any standard of responsible civil discourse.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's the thing. I mean, how many more times, Carl, do you think this is going to have to happen before I don't know that they'll ever grow a conscience, but where does this go?
Well, I think the most important thing is for, first of all, hoping that it doesn't happen again. I think that's probably in vain, but yeah. I hope it doesn't happen again. You know, it's important that people hold these hosts accountable. Because, you know, it's always funny when Fox brags about their ratings. You know, a million people listen to Bill O'Reilly. Out of 300 million Americans?
Right, yeah.
You know? So it's important that people hold these hosts accountable. You know, they can go to MediaMatters.org and see what they're saying from day to day. Because the more that these hosts are seen as the fringe characters that they are, the less respectable.
Right.
And the less trustworthy they will be. It's not so much about the audience that tunes in every day because they're not going to be convinced one way or the other. They think Obama was born in Kenya or some other foreign-sounding country.
Maybe we could, you know what? I was just going to say, Carl, hey, there's an idea that just came to me. We can keep free speech, but maybe require that Fox News has like a little chyron that just says, this is for entertainment purposes only. Nothing they're saying is actually true.
Well, then we'd have to start Entertainment Matters and argue about whether or not Fox is actually entertaining. I mean, yeah. They tried their hand at entertainment with a comedy show. And
oh, dear.
Just funny.
Oh, dear. Yeah, awful. I remember that. All right. You know, you can read Carl Frisch at MediaMatters.org as well, and I recommend that you do. Carl, thank you so much for taking time for us.
Thanks, Stephanie.
All right. There he goes, Carl Frisch, a senior fellow.
Yes. And you can follow him on Twitter, too.
And a hale and hearty fellow as well.
Yes, Twitter.com/ Carl Frisch.
Mm-hmm. 43 minutes after the hour, back with the much-promised Naked Girls for Jim.
Woo-hoo.
In the Celebrity Stack as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
What the hell was that?
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Okay, so you're...
Stephanie Miller.
That don't impress me much.
Yeah, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. 48 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Melissa in Seattle, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hello. I just wanted to say that I find it interesting that the right-wing top heads are very proud of the fact that they influenced the teabaggers and yet had no influence over the people who went out shooting other people.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. Yep. Yeah, and they had no influence in these last elections either. But yeah, but that's exactly it. It's, you know, when Carl Frisch from Media Matters just told us actually what a tiny percentage of the American people it is that watch Bill O'Reilly.
Right.
That's what you're realizing. It's lunatic fringe.
Right. Yeah. The guys with the guns.
Not entirely, but clearly enough of them.
I know plenty of lunatics who watch the O'Reilly Factor. Mm-hmm.
You're one of them.
Well.
All
right. He's forced to do it, though.
Yes.
Enforced lunacy.
Under duress. Can I have some porn music, please? Hugh Hefner. Mm-hmm. Jim, this is something you can aspire to. He confesses he can't tell his lovers apart.
Oh, well. Neither can Jim.
Well, it's because he needs new glasses.
Yeah,
he has
possibly cataract surgery.
He also just crapped his pants.
Come on.
What?
He has three new blondes. Two of them are twins. He says he still can't really tell them apart. He said, I have one little trick. One has a little mark. Other than that, I don't know. He was also glowing about his former flame, Kendra Wilkinson's recent pregnancy news. He said, I'm sure the baby will end up at the mansion. We do have lots of little bunnies. We have lots of friends and second-generation playmates, so there's lots of kids around the mansion these days.
It's like the Mouseketeers.
Look at you! You have a baby! In a bar!
At the Playboy Mansion.
Wow.
Wow.
Maybe he can't tell them apart because he's only seeing blue with all the Viagra. That's probably,
they both look like Smurfs. They, yeah.
Exactly.
Or he can't tell them apart because he's really, really old.
Well, yeah.
Okay.
I suppose at that age, if you're getting that much, does it matter? No. Does it matter which one is which? He's 1,000, for God's sakes, and he's banging three hot blondes.
No.
All right. I mentioned this earlier. Senator Coburn?
Yes.
This is what the Republicans are spending their time doing. It's just trying to shoot things, just trying to score political points, shoot things down, whether it's the stimulus, try to make it look silly. So this is what they do. They go into the bill and find a little thing like, oh, Bobby Jindal, sadly for him, picked a volcano monitoring as the silly thing to mock right before...
a volcano in Alaska exploded,
which apparently I can see from her house.
Proving once again that God hates Republicans. Okay. Repairs for rural bridges and under highway safe crossing for turtles and efforts to protect the sage-grouse population are among 100 projects Coburn pointed to Monday as questionable federal stimulus money.
Some of that might be a little questionable. I have to give them that.
The list includes projects others would identify as ideal for creating jobs and benefiting generations of Americans. Skateboard parks, street capes, escapes, upgrades of park facilities, bike trails, and parking garages. Coburn's list is partially a collection of news stories that question some local projects funded under the president's economic recovery plan. For instance, he criticized an $840,000 to repair a bridge in Portage County, Wisconsin. The county highway commissioner, who might know a little thing or two about that bridge, said the bridge has lived its life expectancy and is dangerous. Governor Tim Pawlenty the one that said, oh, the bridges are fine?
They're fine. Don't worry about it. Uh-oh.
Oops.
Oops. No. Well, we only lost one. So that's,
yeah, he's the one that voted against them. That's fine. Stop your whining. That bridge in Minneapolis is fine.
We drove across that bridge last
year.
Yes.
He said it is dangerous. It's a pretty crucial bridge in Portage County. He added it will soon be a shortcut to a state highway as well. Coburn criticized the $3.4 million Florida Department of Transportation projects for Echo Passage. It's the underground wildlife crossing for turtles and other wildlife.
Mm-hmm.
You ready? He told a joke, Jim. Why did the turtle cross the road? To get to the other side of the stimulus project.
Was that the punchline?
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Need some
work.
Oh, my God. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
He needs to punch that up a little.
Mm-hmm. The Florida Transportation Department's natural resources manager said a large number of turtles and other wildlife were killed in the area. In addition to protecting wildlife, he says the project is needed for safety. Turtles hit by vehicles can become flying projectiles. And there's been yikes.
Yeah, there's that nothing worse than a turtle hitting your windshield.
No, I hate when that happens. Yeah,
except
but see,
maybe
there
a
are...
rhino hitting your windshield.
There are reasons for these projects.
Yes.
An advisor to the president for the Recovery Act said, with 20,000 projects approved, there's bound to be some mistakes. When we find them, we've been transparent about it, worked on a bipartisan basis to shut them down immediately. Senator Coburn's report, however, is filled with inaccuracies, including criticisms of projects that have already been stopped, projects that were never approved, or some projects that are working quite well. But thank you, Senator, for spending your time on that rather than getting Americans jobs or health care. Story in the LA Times I found disturbing, which is, you know, we've often talked about this with Reverend Wallace and others, that obviously in an economy this bad, it's always the poor that clearly get hurt the most. The sad news for them, and most of them are in Republican districts, and that is especially bad news. Like some of these Republican governors are like, we don't want your stinking stimulus money. We don't need it. And they're from some of the poorest states.
South Carolina?
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
No.
The headline is GOP lawmakers bring the budget pain home. This from out here in California. Many call for cutting public aid despite representing poor rural areas with the greatest percentage of need. In the belly of the Central Valley, hard times have hit harder than just about anywhere else in America. It's also a stronghold of Republicans ready to shrink the safety net. One in five in Merced County adults are out of work. Home foreclosures run rampant. Anti-poverty programs are stretched to the limit. The county welfare chief calls it California's Appalachia. This is also a region represented in the State House budget roll almost exclusively by anti-tax Republicans who push to downsize government, collides with a sobering reality. A greater percentage of their constituents depend on health and welfare programs than anywhere else in California. The region's Republican lawmakers are backing Schwarzenegger's plan to slash programs for the poor. Other parts of California face the same situation, from the quiet timberlands of the north to the agricultural heartland in the San Joaquin Valley, where high per capita use of public health and welfare coexists with small government Republican representation. So good luck to you there. So, Republicans.
Kapooey.
Okay, Tom and Reno, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hey, thanks, Stephanie. Listen, I got a question on this Tiller thing. Does this family have any recourse at all to take the Bill O'Reilly, Sean Hannity?
I don't know.
Into court?
I don't know. I'm not a lawyer. And why are you yelling?
Oh, stop it!
I get enough of that from you.
At least I don't yell.
Well, I think he would actually have to say, go out and kill this guy for that to be actionable.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like yelling fire in a crowded theater, unfortunately.
All right. Dick Cheney.
More like looking like you smell smoke in a crowded theater. What is that, smoke?
Jim, did you hear this?
Didn't quite get all the way to fire. What?
Did you hear this breaking news story that some of the detainees say they made up information when they were tortured?
Hmm. Huh. That's shocking.
Who's ever heard of that, except everyone that ever has known anything about torture? I don't know who to believe, but the previously classified statements have been really saying that they made stuff up, which is why I don't get why the CIA backed down on Dick Cheney. The CIA said its director does not believe Dick Cheney wants the U.S. to be attacked again. He didn't say that. Yeah, he did.
He did.
He was simply expressing his profound disagreement with the assertion that President Obama's blah, blah, blah. Please.
What was that in the PNAC, the Project New American Century? Gee, if only we had a catalyzing, catastrophic Pearl Harbor-like event, that would really be swell for us. Hey, look, we got one. As soon as we took power. How lucky is that?
All right. Finally, before we go, the president has thrown a gay bone. He's thrown a gay bone. Well, you know, gay groups not happy with the president's inaction on DOMA and Don't Ask, Don't Tell. He plans to extend health care benefits and other benefits to the gay and lesbian partners of federal employees, which is good.
That's a start. It's a start. It doesn't affect the majority of gay Americans, though.
All right. We will get to that and much more tomorrow. That's it for us. I'd like to thank executive producer, engineer, boy toy, Chris LaVoy, voice deity, Jim Ward, associate producer, Rebecca Baker on phones and drums. See you tomorrow on The Stephanie Miller Show.